Man, after that song, I was kind of like our Anna when she was little, youngest of four siblings or four kids. Man, we'd be in the middle of that suburban. We'd all be traveling down the road. Man, there'd be conversations. Everything be going on, and she'd try and say something, and somebody would talk over to finish their conversation. Finally, she'd just holler, "It's my turn! It's my turn!" I kind of feel that way now, man. After that song, after that that music, man, it's my turn! It's my turn! Whoo! You have your Bibles, if you will, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Wow, God did it again. I told Daryl when he started walking off, man, God did it again. This whole song service, especially that last song, is perfect for what God laid on my heart to share tonight, to talk about the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. The fact that we are bought with a price, that we are not our own, that our bodies belong to Christ, but we are bought into freedom. There's an amazing thing about being the slave of God. There's great freedom. And that's such a dichotomy. It's such a almost an oxymoron. You're a slave, but you are radically free. And if we can ever grasp that, if we can ever understand that, if we can ever begin to wrap our minds around the fact, yes, we are slaves. We are bond slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been bought with a great price. We are desperately loved, but yet we are bought into freedom. And how that plays out in our life is what we've got to get a grip on. And because there's a passage, man, all of us love this verse in John chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. Man, we love that verse, and absolutely is true, and it's exciting. But do we understand that? That we are bought for freedom. And how do we live in that freedom? Well, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul is writing to the church at Galatia. He's writing to encourage them because what has happened is, man, the gospel has been preached, they've been saved, but the Judaizers have come in behind them and saying, yeah, Jesus is the Messiah, but if you're going to be a good Christian, if you're going to be a good follower of Christ, you've got to be a good Jew. So you've got to keep the law. You've got to make sure you're circumcised, and then you've got to do all the other things that law says about. So, yeah, Jesus is important. You need to believe in Jesus, but you also got to keep the law. So it's Jesus and. And Paul is writing to them and said, man, you guys are, how did you so quickly be re-enslaved? How are you so quickly deluded into thinking that Jesus is not enough? And he's beginning to encourage them. He's trying to teach them, man, you are bought for freedom. You are saved for freedom. And how do you live out that freedom? Well, in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start out in the first verse, but then we're going to skip down to verses 13 through 16. That's kind of where we're going to land for a little while. If you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Verse 1, it says, "It was for freedom that Christ freed us. The Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery." He said, look, stand firm in your freedom. You don't have to keep the law anymore. Verse 13, "For you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh is set its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Let's pray. Lord God, I'm so thankful for your great grace. I'm so thankful for the truth that we have been set free from trying to earn your favor. We've been set free from trying to earn your love. God, we have been set free so that we can live in freedom, no longer concerned and weighted down by the fear that we will disappoint you, no longer weighted down by the fear that we will cause you to not love us anymore. God, we can live in the freedom of your grace, the freedom of your love, and the freedom to do what we've been saved to do. But God, the truth is, many of us are still living in fear. We're not living in that freedom. God, we've turned our freedom sometimes into an opportunity for the flesh. And sometimes we've turned that freedom into bondage, or we're afraid we've messed up too bad. So God, I pray tonight as we look at your word, at the truth that you teach us, that we can begin to understand we were saved to no longer be in fear. We were saved to no longer be enslaved, but we have been set free so that we can love freely, so that we can live in the righteousness and the glory of your presence, and we can demonstrate that freedom by loving other people. So God, help us tonight. Transform us tonight. Prepare us to be used this next week in a mighty way and for the rest of our lives for the glory of your name and your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And as I was looking at these passages and thinking of the freedom that we have, and I began to try and say, okay, how can we relate this? How can we understand that we've been saved to freedom, but that freedom, as Paul says, don't let that freedom cause an opportunity for the flesh. That means don't say, oh, okay, I'm saved, and once saved, always saved. Well, I can just live like I want to now. It doesn't matter. I'm saved. He says, no, don't give opportunity to the flesh. Your freedom is not so that you can do what you want to. You're free to do what you've been saved to do. And I was beginning to look at it and think about it and kind of walk through the passage, I was reminded of something Jesus said way back in Matthew chapter 6, the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he was talking to them about worry. He says, don't be anxious. Don't worry about it. Why are you worried about what you should wear? Why are you worried about where you should live? Why are you worried about what you should eat? Isn't the body more than clothes and life more than food? He says, don't worry about those kind of things. In Matthew 6:33, and when God called me and got hold of me and said, hey, my plans for you hadn't changed. And at 33, he let me know, look, I've got a purpose for you, but in order to live in my purpose, you've got to live in freedom. You've got to start pursuing me and let me free you from all this stress. Let me free you from all this worry about who's supposed to provide for your family and how things are going to work out and all that. You just walk by faith and not by sight. And he said, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. Somebody finish it for me. And all these other things will be added to you. See, the freedom we have in Christ, the reason we can be free is now we're a slave to God. And a slave isn't responsible for where he's going to live or what he's going to eat or what he's going to wear. That's not the slave's responsibility. We talked about that when we looked at the parable of the talents, the three slaves. We said that that third slave, he just lived off the master's dime. The master clothed him, the master fed him, the master gave him something to eat, but he didn't do anything to increase the kingdom of the master. He took the talent that he was given and hid it in the dirt. And then when the master came back, he just dug it up and said, here's what you gave me. I didn't do anything with it, but I didn't lose it either. He just lived off the master's dime. Well, if we are a slave of Christ, if we've been bought with a price, he owns us, then it's no longer my responsibility to provide for my family. It's a strange thought for us, isn't it? Now, do I have a responsibility to find a job and go to work? Absolutely. Do I have a responsibility to do what's right, even when it may cost me my job? Absolutely. Why? Because God's the one that's in charge of taking care of my family, not me. So I have the freedom to do what's right, even when it's not popular, even when it may cost me my job. I can't be immoral or unethical. I've got the freedom to say, I can't do that. Well, if you don't do this, then you're going to lose your job. Well, I guess I'm going to lose my job because I can't do that. You have the freedom to do what's right without the fear of who's going to take care of my family, who's going to pay my bills, who's going to put food on our table. That's God's job. It's his responsibility to find you the place to work. It's his responsibility to provide for your family. It's his responsibility to protect your family. See, one of the craziest things that I've had to grasp hold of is it's not my responsibility to protect my family. You know, that's a crazy thought. that goes against everything that Americans think. Now, I'm not bashing people that carry firearms. I am glad some people feel comfortable with concealed carry. I'm glad. If somebody comes in here comes into a store with a gun, I hope there's somebody there with a concealed carry to stop them. But I just can't do that. I believe it's God's responsibility to protect me and my family. Now, I'm going to try and be smart. I'm going to keep my doors locked at night. You know, I'm going to do all the things that I can responsibly, but ultimately it's God's responsibility. Just like my kids. There was an opportunity for Anna 2 years ago to go to Burkina Faso. And if you know anything about Burkina Faso, that's a pretty dangerous place in the world to be going. But she had the opportunity to go on a mission trip. And man, when she said it, I just kind of checked me. Burkina Faso. And then I had to do some praying. And I had to come to the point where I said, okay, God, she's yours anyway. She's yours. And just be honest, I want her to live a long, healthy, wonderful life. But if she dies on a mission trip, man, what better place to die? Doing something for you. So I told her, okay, baby, if you feel like this is where God wants you to go, we'll come up with the money. We'll figure out a way to you go. I was kind of glad when it got canceled. But there's got to be a point in our life where we say, God, our children are yours. The Bible says that children are a gift from God. Okay? And Rand and I figured out a long time ago that the stuff we have, we can't protect it. Our house got broken into twice within 4 months. Had locks on the doors, dead bolts, the whole nine yards. Locks, I'm just going to tell you, locks are to keep honest people out, okay? And after the second time, the first time I was so mad, I was hoping I could find who it was. I kept saying, man, I would love to have been here and shoot them when they came in. The second time it happened, God tapped me on the back of the head and said, Neil, whose stuff is this? Neil, you're not doing a very good job of protecting this. Whose stuff is this? And that's when Rand and I had to sit down and we had to say, God, this everything that we own is yours. You said you cannot be my disciple unless you give up all of your own possessions. So God, this is your stuff. These are your children. If you want us to have them for a long time, you got to protect them. If you want my kids to live to a ripe old age, you've got to protect them. We can't. They're fixing to start driving. My daughter left today in a thunderstorm heading home. God, she's yours. If you want her to make it till old age, then you got to watch over as she travels. But that's up to you. She's yours. The freedom that we have is that we don't have to worry over things that are not our job and our responsibility anymore. Paul says here, he says, for you are called to freedom. You are called to no longer have to worry. You are called to no longer have to stress out. You are called to no longer have to be encumbered with responsibility that's too big for you. And the problem is we still trying to hang on to responsibilities that are not ours. And the job's too big, the responsibility's too great, and we get overwhelmed, and we get nervous, and we get stressed out, and we wring our hands, and we look just like the lost world. We respond and we act just like the lost world because we're not living in the freedom that we've been saved to. We're trying to take over God's responsibilities rather than focusing on my responsibility. As the slave, my responsibility is not my welfare. My responsibility is doing what the master says to do. That's my freedom. I've been set free from other responsibilities. And the only responsibility I have now is to be obedient. To live in the truth and the power that God has given me, to live in the assurance of the trustworthiness and the faithfulness of God. He says, for freedom you've been called, brethren, don't turn that freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but, so don't turn into an opportunity for the flesh saying, I can just be lazy now. God's got to take care of me. I don't have to work. You know, I don't have to do anything. I don't have any responsibility for anything. Yeah, I still have responsibility, he says, but my responsibility, make sure that you let God do his thing and you do your thing. What's my thing? through love, serve one another. See, that's my responsibility. Through love, serve one another. Through love, invest in other people. Through love, meet the needs of other people. I can meet the needs of other people because whose responsibility for meeting mine? God. I can give sacrificially. Why? Because it's God's responsibility to provide what I need. It's God's responsibility to provide what I need to share with other people. So I can live in rest, I can live in freedom, and I can do what God wants me to do. What is it God wants me to do? Through love, serve one another. He says that two times in this passage, in this chapter. He says, through love, serve one another. It's through love, but faith working through love, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love is everything, is what that means. So we are to live our lives in freedom, and we're freed from some things, but we're free to some things. We're free to love, or through love, serve one another. For the whole law, he says in verse 14, is fulfilled in this one word, this one phrase in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus was asked by the Pharisee, or the scribe, said, Master, what's the greatest commandment? Trying to trap him, of course. And he says, well, you know the law. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the whole law and the prophets hang on these two things. He says, you don't have to worry about all this other stuff. If you'll just focus on two things for the rest of your life, you'll be right with God. He'll be pleased with you. You'll accomplish everything He wants you to do. Love Him and love people. Plain and simple. Just focus on those two things. Love God, love people. And we've been set free so that we can do that. We've been set free from having to take care of ourselves. We've been set free from protecting our own family. We've been set free from protecting our and defending our reputation. Wow, that's hard, isn't it? Somebody starts talking bad about you. Somebody starts spreading lies about you. Somebody starts talking junk. What's our response? Well, I've got to set them straight, man. I've got to defend myself. No, that's not your responsibility. It's God's. You just keep doing what's right so that when it comes down to it, there's not enough evidence to convince you of doing anything wrong. Trust God for those things. Through faith, love one another. Through love, serve one another. The key to all of it, our freedom, we've been set free to do what? To love. Rather than being self-centered, we've been set free from taking care of ourselves. We've been set free from providing for ourselves. We've been set free for protecting ourselves. We've been set free from all that. That's God's job now. My job is simply to love people. Love our enemies. Love our neighbor. Love whoever's around us. Love whoever we have an opportunity to. Now, love isn't emotion. Love isn't a feeling. Love is an action. We know that. So in other words, if we're going to love our neighbor, then we've got to act loving towards our neighbor. Just like we talked about this morning. If they're hungry, give them something to eat. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. If they're naked, give them some clothes. If they're sick, visit them. Take care of them. Help them. Enemies, children, our family, stranger, it doesn't matter. Jesus was asked, well, who's our neighbor right after that? And he told the parable of the Good Samaritan. Whoever you have an opportunity to love on them is what he said. That's your neighbor. That's an opportunity to live in the freedom that God's given you. And we are to love one another. We're to serve one another through love. But verse 15 says, but, this is what you've been set free to, but if we bite and devour one another. In other words, if we just always talking bad about somebody, if we're always talking down to somebody, if we're always just yang and trying to make ourselves look better by tearing other folks down, be careful that you don't devour one another. Not only will you tear them down, but you're going to be tore down in the middle of it. There have been tons of churches that have been destroyed over this one thing. backbiting and just trying to tear the other person down so we can have a little more authority, a little more control, a little more say-so. And what winds up happening is the testimony of the church is destroyed. The membership of the church is destroyed. The effectiveness of the church is destroyed. And eventually it closes its doors. And if it don't close its doors, it's just there, ineffective, useless, and they just meet on Sunday and go home, and nothing ever is done. Be careful. We got to guard our thoughts, guard our hearts. We got to guard our speech. That's why Paul says that we are to, in another place, he says we are to only say those things that edify and build each other. Be careful how you talk about each other. And then he contrasts that again in verse 16. But I say, rather than backbiting and devouring, I say walk by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. In other words, you can't honor God by living in the flesh, not following the Spirit, not living in your freedom, but always backbiting, always devouring, always trying to jockey for position, always trying to make sure that you get yours. It says you can't honor God. You can't live for God that way. That's totally against the Spirit. And everything about the Spirit is against the flesh. I don't know about you, but man, everything that the Bible tells me I'm supposed to do is hard. It goes against everything in my inner being. It goes against everything that I want to do. But yet, if I'm going to walk by the Spirit, if I'm going to walk in step with the Spirit, then I'll honor God. And I have to deny the flesh. But if, verse 18, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You don't have to worry about the law. You don't have to worry about earning God's favor. You don't have to worry about whether God's going to be disappointed in you. You don't have to worry about whether God's going to stop loving you. You don't have to worry about those kind of things. You don't have to worry about if God's going to provide for you. You don't have to worry about if God's going to meet your needs and make sure that you're able to pay your bills. He says, if you'll just live in freedom, God's going to do His part. He's faithful. So if you keep in step with the Spirit, you don't have to worry about the law. You don't have to worry about keeping the rules. They'll take care of themselves. Just walk in the freedom for which you've been saved. Quit worrying about things that are God's responsibility and live out your responsibility. Love your neighbor. Through love, serve one another. The love that you've received from God, when we understand the great love that God has for us, the great gift of grace that Jesus provided, the great cost that it took for Him to pay for the sins of the world, but specifically for mine. And we're coming up on Easter. And we need to remember that Jesus experienced something that He had never experienced before. I talked to you about this before, and I'm fully convinced of this. When Jesus was weeping in the garden and He was sweating drops of blood and He was begging the Father three times, please let this cup pass from me. Please don't make me do this. If there's any other way for the salvation of mankind to be done, you are God. You can do it any way you want to. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He wasn't brokenhearted. I mean, yeah, He wasn't looking forward to getting beaten, I'm sure. He wasn't looking forward to being nailed on the cross. But Jesus was sweating drops of blood over the fact that for 3 hours, He was going to experience something He had never experienced before, separation from the Father. For an eternity, He has been in perfect unity, perfect fellowship, perfect love with the Father. But now on this day, He's going to experience the wrath of God. No love, no connection, no unity with the Father. Absolute rejection by God. Experiencing the wrath of God so that we would never have to face God's wrath. Think about that. The cost that it took for Jesus. The love God has for you. And then let that love simply flow from you to other people. You didn't deserve it. You didn't do anything to earn it. You and I were just like the others in the crowd. If we had been there, we wouldn't have been doing anything different. We'd have been hollering, crucify, crucify. We'd have been spitting in his face or running for cover just like the disciples. We wouldn't have been any better. Don't get self-righteous on me. You wouldn't. But Jesus died for us anyway. He who knew no sin became sin so that we would have the opportunity to be the righteousness of God. We have much love to share. Much love to share. And you've been set free from every other worry and concern in life so that you can only focus on one thing. Love your neighbor. Every way you can, every chance you can, as much as you can. That's why you were set free. So trust God. He's faithful. Love the way you've been loved by God. Let's pray.